It's a study in contrasts, or at least a chilling irony. The same convention hall where the governor of the state of New York called for the strictest gun controls in the U.S. to be enacted in the aftermath of the Newtown shootings is also the site of that state's biggest annual gun show, the New York State Arms Collector Trade Show. Governor Cuomo got his gun restrictions passed, but the gun show participants are either treating it like a non-event or as a reason to buy more weapons. Joining me now is WNYC reporter Robert Lewis. You went to the convention. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And what was it like? Just to give me a sense of the feeling of the gun show itself.
It was packed. There were a lot of people there, a lot of people who seemed to feel the need to buy up, stock up while they still can. There's really a sense that there's going to be more restrictions put in place. And so as a result, people are trying to buy ammo. They're trying to buy these 10-bullet magazines, rather.
That are still legal.
They are, but not for much longer. And so there was a table sort of all the way in the back corner where there was always a crowd around it. I tried to interview, actually, the vendor, and he kept turning me away saying, "I'm too busy, man. I'm too busy."
Well, let's give listeners a sense of the convention itself. First of all, business is pretty darn good.
People are nervous about the changes in the law. The ammo portion does not go into effect until January 15th, 2014. But unless you've read the website, you may not be aware of that. So people want to get before they have to have background checks and special cards and everything.
People know the chapter and verse of this law and definitely want to buy in advance of the deadlines.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They've been following this incredibly closely and have a sense of what they're going to not be able to do. And so they are really trying to, the ammo in particular, stock up while they can.
For the week after Newtown, the NRA had an extraordinarily low profile. But that's completely changed, of course, in the weeks and months since. And at this gun show, the NRA had a pretty high profile. Listen.
I've been thinking about doing it for a while, and I want to support somebody who's going to help protect my gun rights now that they're trying to take them.
Is the law that just passed, is that going to impact you personally?
I have to register my AR-15, but aside from that, no.
Are you going to register?
I pretty much have to, otherwise they're going to try to take it, right?
Now, that's Chris McClellan, who decides he wants to join the NRA as a result of all this. And you're interviewing about the exact same kind of gun that was used in the Newtown shootings.
Exactly. I parked myself outside the NRA booth for quite a while, and it was a steady stream of people showing up saying either they wanted to renew or in a lot of cases, like Chris, had longtime shooters and decided they wanted to join for the first time.
And some people were really mad. Here's Pauline Dion.
Because I'm upset with what New York State is doing and what Obama's trying to do with the gun, making everybody sign up, taking some of our rifles away. I've never done anything bad in my whole life. I never even got a speeding ticket, so I don't like being lumped in with all the criminals who use guns for a bad purpose.
Now, that anger has really sort of changed the character of this that once was kind of a collector's show, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There really was a high tension in the room. You'd hear people just murmuring, not just about the law, but about their displeasure with a lot of politicians.
And what do the old collectors think about that?
It's a different type of show, and all I'm getting is questions about, well, can I buy this, and can I keep that, and what's going on? I have no idea. Nobody's told me anything.
So it's interesting. There was, the sense of the old collectors are looking at this as suddenly a political organization, a political show, and he's sort of caught kind of flummoxed by the whole thing. Tell me about this guy, Tom Cameron, who you ran into.
Tom sort of seemed to sum up the feeling of I'd call it the fringe element, except there were a lot of people who felt this. They were sort of the angry Republican who really felt that there was sort of a communist takeover of the country, basically.
This is communism. They want to destroy the Constitution of the United States. But if you give them bastards the right to take away a semi-automatic gun, they're going to be after your grandfather's old Browning automatic five shotgun, your 740 Remington Woodsmaster, every gun that's a semi-automatic, which means you have to pull the trigger each time it shoots. That's what they'll go after. You can't give them an inch.
Tom Cameron there speaking at the annual New York State Arms Collector Trade Show. Robert Lewis attended it, WNYC reporter. Wow, those are fighting words.
They certainly were.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you very much.
So you can certainly hear in Robert Lewis's report there a sense of gun owners defending the battlements in some legal war on the Constitution in the wake of the Newtown shootings. That was a sentiment at the annual New York State Gun Show, and some folks believe that when push comes to shove on gun control laws, law enforcement, in some cases, will be on the gun owner's side. That's what gun owner and gun show attendee Pauline Dion believes.
They said they're just not going to comply. They've had their guns for 15, 20 years. They're just not going to comply. And we're actually, my sister and several of us are writing to sheriff's offices and such like that and asking them, are they going to enforce that law?
Are they going to enforce the laws on gun control? Well, Pauline might feel safer with her semi-automatic weapon down in Charleston County, South Carolina, where the local sheriff has put the feds on notice. He won't be enforcing any unconstitutional laws. Sheriff Al Cannon of Charleston County, South Carolina, joins us. He's on the line from Houston today. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Actually, I'm at a conference here, and in the convention center was a gun show this weekend. And I would say that the sentiment I heard reflected of the gun show up there was very evident here. I actually collect World War II military weapons, and there was very little of that type of weapon here. It was mostly guns that people are afraid are going to be banned, and a lot of activity there.
Now, as a law enforcement individual, doesn't it concern you that people on the other side of some sort of criminal activity are going to have automatic weapons aimed at you one of these days in Charleston County, South Carolina, if these laws don't get a little more restrictive?
Well, let me tell you that to begin with, the thieves have had and the thugs have had semi-automatic AKs and those sorts of things, and that is a concern to law enforcement because in many respects, if you go back to the South Los Angeles bank robbery, that's when law enforcement started putting rifles out with their officers because they were, in effect, being outgunned. But the fact of the matter is this is aimed, you know, I heard the phrase fringe element used by your reporter. There are 45 to 50 million households in the United States with firearms, over 310 million firearms in the nation. So the overwhelming majority, and I think what gets lost sometimes is the fact that the overwhelming majority of gun owners are like those folks that you interviewed at the gun show. They're good, law-abiding, decent American citizens.
Well, Sheriff, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I take your point on the fringe element, but catch me up on something here. You have suggested that you would not enforce a law that you believe to be unconstitutional, right?
Well, and let me tell you, that's based on my experience. That's based on the fact that I'm an attorney. It's based on the fact that I also said that I would be getting with our state attorney general to evaluate
right.
that. But let me tell
you
something.
But wait, before you go on there, hold on one second.
Let me make the point this. One of the things that historically in the last couple of decades, rights of citizens has been a daily topic for various discussions. But we rarely, if ever, talk about the responsibilities of citizens. And to an extent, my position is simply a part of what I view my responsibilities, not only as a law enforcement official, but as a citizen of the United States.
Okay, understood. And, but as an attorney, as a student of the Constitution, I mean, isn't it the case right. that the courts are to interpret what is constitutional or not county sheriffs or law enforcement on the scene of a crime?
Let me tell you, police officers make judgments, for example, on legal issues like whether or not probable cause exists to arrest someone. And police officers have some element of discretion as it relates to minor offenses. The only thing I've said is that I'm very sensitive to what I think is an agenda. And Senator Feinstein, if you go back to the 1994 time frame when they were banning assault weapons, quote-unquote, the first time around, her goal is pretty clear. She would like everybody in the United States to give up their firearms. And quite frankly, there is this mindset here that has us all gradually headed to assisted living centers everything we eat, everything we do, all of our exercise is regulated by government.
All right, understood, Sheriff. I totally understand your argument. But isn't it your responsibility as a sheriff to read the law as it's written, not what might be in Dianne Feinstein's mind?
Well, the legislative intent is a significant factor when it comes to interpreting laws. And yes, law enforcement officers have to interpret laws to a certain extent because you can't just arbitrarily. I'm not a robot. You just can't arbitrarily enforce a law that on its face you believe to be unconstitutional.
Okay. Now, is that the case that in Charleston County, South Carolina, if a house is filled with AR-15s and Bushmaster rifles, and the federal law declares that they are unregistered and they cannot be in that house, that you will basically not enforce that law?
Well, I think it's important to recognize, first off, that it is a rare instance in which local law enforcement is called on to enforce federal laws to begin with. We, as a rule, have no jurisdiction over federal laws.
What is this declaration? Is it just a symbol, or who are you fighting here?
Well, who am I fighting? I'm fighting those folks who believe that it is in America's best interest to disarm Americans. And I if you look at James Madison's argument in the 46th paper of the Federalist Papers, his, in effect, letter to the editor, he goes into great detail. And I'll tell you this, from my perspective, the Constitution was written out of an overabundance of concern about a too powerful central government. And I would submit to you that however sophisticated and enlightened we've become since then, there's no less reason to be concerned about that today than there was then.
All right, Al Cannon, thanks so much. A constitutional discussion with the sheriff of Charleston County, South Carolina, who intends not to enforce laws he believes violate the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Al Cannon, thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.